Continuing our theme here on The Naked Scientists with Dr. Chris and Dr. Kat of hazards and that kind of thing, Michael Watts is with the British Geological Survey, and something you've been doing quite a lot of, Michael, is looking at Argentinian arsenic. Tell us about that.
This is a project that we're doing in collaboration with the University of Surrey. Professor Neil Ward actually set up this work. We're doing this through a co-sponsorship of a PhD student, and the idea is that she's looking at a northern region in Argentina, San Juan and La Rioja, well known for the wine. It's also well known for high arsenic levels in the local water systems and in the soils. So what we're doing is helping out local geoscience institutes and local universities, and with local medics, we're trying to build up a picture of what is actually going on. So we're sort of building up information in sort of three layers, working out the environmental geochemistry, so sort of surveying waters and soils for the arsenic content.
Where is all this arsenic actually coming from in the first place?
Well, the arsenic will generally be naturally occurring in the environment, but there may well be present in water systems due to mining activities.
The Victorians were very fond of it because it made very nice green wallpaper, and then made people go green and die. But you know, why actually is it toxic, and why is it something we need to worry about?
Well, it's a natural, it's a well-known poison. One of the issues is actually the chemistry of the arsenic and the form that it's present in. So that's something that needs to be considered. You may have a lot of arsenic present in the environment, but the toxicity and the availability to be taken up by humans is really dependent on the chemical form. So that could be the redox conditions, or the presence as an organic compound.
So when people drink water or eat food or whatever that's been grown on arsenic-contaminated land, that's a way in which they can get the arsenic into their body?
Yeah, or via hand-to-mouth contact. So if you've got a bit of soil on your hands, you've done a bit of gardening and you just touch your mouth, that's one way. Or soil attached to vegetables.
So how are you actually trying to study how much arsenic the people are being exposed to? Is there a way of doing that?
With this Argentinian work, we're sort of building up a survey of, as I said, of the waters and soils, looking at agricultural products, and then that will lead to human studies. So with the help of local medical experts, we're collating information from rural communities and getting a sort of medical history of the people, where there have been a number of cases of deaths or even health conditions related to arsenic poisoning. But we really need to sort of confirm this anecdotal link between the environmental data and the end point where people are ending up with diseases.
Now, someone was saying to me the other day that earthworms are proving really quite useful in trying to work out what's in the soil.
That's some work we've been doing in the UK. It's been well documented that earthworms are excellent indicators of the health of soil. And one of those uses is to look at the arsenic uptake in the earthworm and look at the effect on its health. We can do that by looking at cell damage as a result of exposure to arsenic.
So rather than a canary in a cage, you've got an earthworm in the ground and you can use that as the index of the degree of contamination?
Yes. There's a tentative link to humans there. It's more an indicator of ecotoxicity. We do use another technique called the PBET, which is a physiologically based extraction technique. And this is quite a popular technique for simulating the human gut. So we do a laboratory controlled experiment, and in a tube we'll put the soil into a tube and then add bile juices and acids and so on to simulate the stomach.
So it's like a sort of stomach in a dish?
Yeah, that's it really. And so we'll look at how much arsenic is released from the soil, so how much is available for the human to be taken up, how much arsenic is available to the human to be taken up. So rather than just looking at the total arsenic in the soil, we're looking at the accessible arsenic, which is a very important point.
And very briefly, Michael, if you discover there's lots of arsenic in the soil, what can you actually do to remedy the situation?
Well, that's quite a difficult issue. One of the most expensive remedies is to actually remediate the land and take it away from landfill and replace it. It's a very difficult thing to do, or seal the land. For communities in Argentina, that's a very difficult issue because reliant on subsistence farming. there might be a recommendation for filtering the irrigation water, whether there are engineering means to correct that, or maybe they source the water in other ways.
So really avoidance rather than cure at this stage, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult thing. That's beyond our expertise, really. I mean, we can build up the weight of evidence to suggest that the arsenic is there, and it could be a problem, or maybe it's just perfectly happy sitting there, not causing any problems. But it's really building up the weight of evidence so that sort of government institutions can come in and recommend methods of remediation.
Okay. Michael Watts, thank you very, very much for joining us on the programme. That's Michael Watts from the British Geological Survey, who's been studying arsenic contamination in the ground over in Argentina.